I've seen it all across the board, from how often we're washing their lunch boxes, we're picking up after them. It's just everywhere. Like, there are signs of this in every single part of my day. And I just made a hard decision a couple weeks back. Like, I'm done. I'm done. And I'm not done in the capacity of like, I'm done with this. And I lost my bloody marbles. And that is not what we want. I want you to be done because you understand that you're going to start to parent in a really intentional way because you truly do care about the future of your children. It's literally that important.
Welcome to Systemize Your Life. This is your go-to podcast for work-from-home moms who are desperate to reclaim control, find order, and escape the never-ending cycle of overwhelm. Hi, I'm your host, Chelsea Joe. I've dedicated this show to modern women just like you, who are eager to give their very best to their home, family, and work, all without losing themselves in the process. Get ready to discover the systems you need to craft powerful relationships, get organized, keep up on that housework, manage your time like a boss, love those babies well, and maybe even sneak in a date night or two. If you are tired of hopelessly watching life pass you by, then it's time to grab your ticket off that hot mess express and join me in life where systems do all the heavy lifting. This is where you transform your chaos into confidence and take your life from overwhelmed to organized. What do you say, friends? Let's do this.
Well, are you ready to do something really fun? Something super exciting? I have a series, a three-part series coming to you right here on the podcast, and I'm going to give you all this information right here on your earbuds. The reason why I am so excited to bring you the Get Your Kids to Help series is because I believe so deeply in what I'm about to share with you. I've seen how it's changed my life, but I am honestly just going to blow your mind with the amount of studies, statistics, and really staggering information about the way we do or don't have our kids help out around the house. So I have a lot of reasons why I feel very strongly about bringing this series of information to you. And it's really vital that you are paying really close attention and that you're here for all of the episodes. There's going to be three of them, but there's one really big reason. And it's not just because you're going to save a bunch of time, which in fact will happen, despite the fact that you think that it takes forever to have your kids help, or you could do it faster, or they just make a mess and then you have to end up cleaning it up and you should have just done it yourself in the first place, right? Like, putting all of that aside, truly, there is something so unbelievably fruitful. Yes, you're going to save time. Yes, you are going to save time whenever you start outsourcing to your kids. And I almost thought about labeling this series as outsourcing to your kids, but it's so much more than that. It really, really is. It truly is about getting your kids to help. The real reason, like the true reason that I want to explore this conversation really deeply with you, and I couldn't just get it into one episode, is so that you could actually have your children grow up to be exactly who you're hoping that they will be. We all want for our kids to be the things that we dream and that we see and that we have visions of for them. And we hope that one day they will turn out to be all the things that we really believe they can be. But for so many of us, we really do have it backwards. We've got everything completely upside down. And our culture has made the path so easy for us to believe that it's normal for our kids to be all the things that we're going to talk about today. Not having to help, not having to be involved, have everything handed to them. Things are so much easier for them than they actually should be. And it's extremely alarming, to say the least. There's a study that I recently read on time.com that found some really incredible information that's all 100% backed by scientific research that says, and I'm going to quote this, despite more than a decade of widespread attention on happiness and the benefits of positive psychology, there is an epidemic of unhappiness in children and teens, quite severe unhappiness. Health statistics, and there's a link here, and actually if you want to see what I'm quoting, I've linked it down in the show notes for you, that over the past decade, it has been shown that beyond 20 to 25% of teens with major depression and another 40%, so that's a total of 65% of kids and teens that struggle with intrusive levels of depression symptoms at some point, and often with anxiety and substance abuse as well. Kids of middle class and more affluent families, kids who seem to have everything going for them and don't have to do as much because they're from this demographic, have far higher rates of depression, anxiety, substance abuse, and antisocial tendencies that their less privileged peers experience. I am going to put my own level of understanding on this, truly, and I am going to present the idea and the concept, which it doesn't just say right here overtly, but we know that it's because the kids that are from these less privileged upbringings have to work a lot harder. And then I'll finish this off to say that why has the Mass Happiness Initiative failed our kids? Science is bringing the problem to a resolution. And that's what I want to bring to you, because actually there's another study that shows that more than 70% of kids want to spend time with their family, and the parents do too. And one common issue that I see with a lot of families, even within my own family, and I'm going to be opening up about this quite a bit in the series, is thinking that it's not worth the fight and it's not worth the time. We could just do it ourselves. And we want our kids to be able to be comfortable. I am so guilty of that. This is the fact of what we think is being selfless, but in all actuality, it's us being extremely selfish. It's not helping our kids at all to not have them help out with things. And I don't just mean like, oh yeah, like here and there we ask them, but like truly have them be contributing members of the family and all the things that they need in their life. I could talk about this at length for hours and hours and hours and hours, but I'm going to try and sum it all up into three episodes as best as I can. So if you're itching to hear where this entire series is going, please just make sure that you come back for the next two episodes. It's going to be amazing. Now, here's my goal with this series. This episode is going to be a little bit longer because I wanted to give a deep introduction here, but I want you to walk away feeling incredibly empowered. Throughout this process, we're going to talk a lot about parenting, which is super triggering for so many people. We're going to talk about your choices. We're going to talk about my choices, which it's a really delicate topic for a lot of families. And I completely understand why. You want the best for your kids and you're doing the best that you can, but knowledge is power. And so I'm just here to share it with you. We're here to learn and then go take action, knowing that this is an issue that every family has to deal with. You must deal with this. And if you don't deal with it now, you're going to end up dealing with things later that you do not want to deal with. So I'm going to give you five really creative ways to make this super simple. And they're things that I have done to be able to get my kids on board without yelling or nagging them, so that you can go test a few of these out in your own life and hopefully get some motivation and some inspiration to keep the ball rolling. Before I give you those five things, I need to give you a little context for where this is coming from and what this has been looking like in my own life. The first thing, let me just talk to you about what I observe in my own house on a regular basis. And I'm just going to give you an example of just today. Like literally before I recorded this episode, the whole family, all hands on deck, after school routine. I had to remind my husband three times, don't do that for her. Don't do that for her. Don't do that for her. All within a matter of 5 to 10 minutes. Because he's an incredible dad. Because he's amazing. Because he wants to help his kids. But there's so much more behind that. There's so much more behind that. He's trying to be helpful to me. He's trying to be helpful to everybody. And that's what we're all doing, right? I mean, this is like such a passion of mine. And so I don't fall, what I like to say, victim to this very often, but I do. I still go out of my way to help my kids with things because I think it's going to make them uncomfortable. I just do it in a very different way than the way that my husband does it. And so I'd love for you to go and observe How often in your own life are you actually going and doing things for your kids that they're perfectly capable of doing? And I've heard so many other people talk about this, and this is something that I have always held true to. Some people say 3 years, some people say 2 years, but always, I've always stuck to like the 1 to 2 year rule. Give your kids more opportunity and more responsibility than you think they're ready for at their age. So if you think a six-year-old could do it, have them start it at the age of 4 or at the age of 5. Push your limits with that. So once you get past that, then the second thing that we need to look at is, why are you actually doing this? Why are you not having them help instead? Why are they not in charge of putting the thing away that they just, oh, cool, I just had them make their own peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Awesome. But did you make them clean up too? Did you make them put their step stool away? Or are you literally stinking doing all of that for them? There's so many things that you're bearing the burden of right now that you should not be. They should be. So I really want to challenge you to start thinking about this all day long. Okay. Here's the second thing. I had my really good friend come over and stay with me just for like a really short, quick day. And I only had Bailey with me. My oldest daughter was at her other house with her biological dad, and my husband was on shift. And she came over and she was like, what kind of voodoo magic are you doing? Why is your child listening to you? I don't even understand what's happening. And she got to observe the way that I do my parenting and the way that I do my life. We have a whole podcast episode about this. I'll link it down in the show notes. And what I have come to find, and I've also had, you know, myself interact with multiple other families and their kids, and I am constantly leading by example. Hey, like, why are you just giving your kid those strawberries when they didn't even ask for them? Like, why are we just, why are we servants to our children all day long? What's actually happening, right? So that's the second thing, is that I've come to see and observe how this works in so many other families too, not just my own. And the third thing that I want to mention really quickly is, we in this house and me have gotten into a really bad habit of doing so much for our kids lately. There was one day, and I see this happen after my kids get sick. I stay in caregiver mode for a long time. I get sucked into it, and so do they. I bet you it feels amazing. I can't even imagine what it feels like. Well, actually I can't, because my mother did it for me my whole life, and it feels amazing. Like, I love it. But then there was one day where I was like, oh my gosh, the way that they were talking to me from the couch while they were demanding some kind of snack at the moment. And I was like, wow, what have I created? I immediately was like, hard no, we need to get out of this. And I've seen it all across the board, from how often we're washing their lunch boxes, we're picking up after them. It's just everywhere. Like, they're are signs of this in every single part of my day. And I just made a hard decision a couple weeks back. Like, I'm done. I'm done. And I'm not done in the capacity of like, I'm done with this, and I lost my bloody marbles. And that is not what we want. I want you to be done because you understand that you're going to start to parent in a really intentional way, because you truly do care about the future of your children. It's literally that important. So here's what I've been doing to swing us out of grooming princesses over here, because that's really what was happening, and start molding really intentional parenting. There are 5 things that are really simple, really, really, really simple. Okay. One of these is going to speak to you, and I want you to start there. Then move to the next one and do all 5 of them, but don't try and do all 5 at once, okay? So here's the first thing that I want you to look at. Routines. I can't say this enough. Routines, routines, routines. This is the easiest way to get your kids to start helping with literally everything. They should be brushing their own teeth. They should be brushing their own hair. They should be making their own bed. They should be packing their own lunches. I love packing my kids' lunches. I really do. But they're packing their own lunches with me now, and that still feels amazing. And now I get to pack my own lunch. Like, I know the art of mothering is honestly lost, if I'm being really honest. And I would love nothing more than to inspire you to become the most artistic mom in the world, but let it be through the lens of empowering and teaching and guiding your children how to do it on their own instead of doing it for them. There really is something so honorable about picking up all of the paintbrushes of parenthood and painting a gorgeous picture. But as a mother, nothing feels better than standing back and watching your children paint the most magical masterpieces by way of you telling them how and showing them how, and then seeing what they're capable of, not what you're capable of. You know that you're leading them to that place to create that masterpiece. So that is what we're talking about. The best way to do this is by building routines and stacking those routines on top of each other all day long. This is my magic sweet sauce. It's Systemize Your Life. It's the home management system that I sell. It's what I created. It's what I've completely lost touch with in my own life. From time to time, that happens. And I just sat down with myself the other day and I was like, fundamental needs, time blocks, routine stacks, the end. My life exists for nothing other than that. Like, I've got to get my home management system wrapped back up. Everyone knows, if you've been listening to the podcast, you know that December was really hard. January came off of that. And then February has been really hard in my company. There's been a lot of things that have happened and it's good. It's great. But it kind of took me back. It threw me off my home management system, you know, groove. And so I've seen it impact the way that I parent. It's impacted this conversation that we're having. So get your routines in place, because that makes it so much easier for the kids to predict what's happening and you're not going to be fighting with them. The second thing, I love all of these so much. I swear to you, I could just talk about each of these for so long. Number two, turn off the screens and make it fun. Turn off the screens. Don't turn the TV on. Don't give them games. Don't give them whatever those PlayStation things are. Don't give it to them. But you're like, I already do. They're so deep in it. Turn them off. Make it fun. Pull it out. I don't even know where there's time for it. I don't even know where there's time for it. I truly don't. Like, I can't. And it's not that my kids don't have screens, but there's so much more that you want to be giving your children. There's not time for it, right? And so it's so important that in those routines, we don't have screens and we're making it fun instead. Make eye contact, put music on, dance with them, make it fun. Like, I don't care how old your kids are, there is a way to have fun with them. Tell jokes, tell stories, do whatever you have to figure out what's fun for your kids and make the work that you want them to be doing with you, alongside you, that's fun for them. Remember that the studies prove that 70% of all kids want to be spending more time with their parents. And a lot of the data shows that it's in everyday things. Okay, number three, don't ask, tell. So what we're trying to really get to in this episode is specifically getting your kids involved without arguing. So we are not going to ask them. We're going to tell them. The number one way to start an argument with anyone that you need them to do something and you know that they don't want to do it is to ask them to do it. We're not asking them to get up off the couch and come set the table. We are telling them it is time to set the table. Favorite line that I use is, it is time to, because this is what we're doing. Not would you like to? Hey, do you feel like? No, they don't feel like it. Stop asking. We tell them. We give clear direction by telling, not asking. So whatever it is that you want them to be doing, to help. Hey, it's time to take out the trash, and then you can go do the thing, right? These are all things that our kids should just be learning how to do in their daily life. Hey, it's time to get up, get dressed, make your bed, brush your teeth, right? We're not asking, we're telling. Number four, give options based on skill set. Now you'll see that in number three, I didn't say don't ask, give them a couple options. No, it's don't ask, tell them what they're doing. And then when you start to get the pushback and the hemming and hawing, you're going to say options based on skill set. So you're going to look at what are they really good at, and you're going to give them options. Hey, you could do what two things need to be done in the kitchen right now, mom? Like, you know, all 15 things that need to be done in the kitchen right now. Just dealt with it this afternoon. Had a great family afternoon, family evening, and the kids are ready because I am dealing with my kids that want to be lazy pants and know that mom will do it for them and dad will do it for them. And so I am met with resistance right now, and you're going to get met with it too, and that's okay. But we keep leaning in. Hey sis, it's time to come help with dinner. Hey sis, it's time to come help with dinner. I need you in the kitchen. It's time to help with dinner. And it's just like so much repetition, right? And I'm not losing my patience. I'm just reiterating that it's time to do this thing. And then it's, oh, well, I don't know. Okay, what would you like to do? Make the salad or put the muffins in the oven? Two things I know she's really great at. I've seen her do it before. Those are your two options, right? It's time to come help with dinner. Great. Here's your two options to come help with dinner. So this is how I'm getting my kids involved without arguing with them. I'm being super strategic with the words that I'm using over and over and over again. I'm thinking about how do I position this to get them on board? How do I position this to lead them to the outcome that's best for them without an argument? Last but certainly not least, communicate in advance over and over and over and over again. I have a 6-year-old in my house, and I feel like I have to communicate the thing that she has to be doing independently on her own over and over and over and over and over again. She gets unbelievably distracted, more than my other kiddo, and that's just her personality, and that's okay. But it's super important that you communicate what your expectations are and what it is that they are supposed to be doing to help with. And you do it in advance. So in order to get my kids independently going through their nighttime routine, they are told that the nighttime routine is coming about 3 or 4 times. So they are prepared and they're setting their brain up for this is what's coming next. Their ideas are not drifting over into, I'm going to get lost in the pantry, or I'm going to go play with the dog and say, oh, but I'm playing with the dog. We're not playing with the dog. It is time to go brush your teeth and get into bed. Hey, guess what? As soon as we're done cleaning up the table, it will be time to go upstairs and brush your teeth and do your nighttime routine. Like, it's just repetition, 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 repetition. That is how we lead. That is how your kids are going to be able to succeed. When you take all 5 of these things, honestly, there are countless scientific studies that will prove that your child's life literally depends on you getting them involved in all of the ways that we just talked about. If you want your kids to have better academic performance at school, if you want them to be able to develop life skills, have better self-esteem, have really great healthy habits so they don't have to grow up and figure out how to break them after experiencing them all life long, you want to have a stronger bond with your family, prepare them to be independent and mature enough to handle their adult life instead of living with you forever. Just kidding. I told my kids they do have to live with me forever. Just kidding. I know. They must be independent at some point. And we want them to be able to handle that. We also want them to be able to have empathy and compassion and not feel entitled to every single thing that they want in their life. There are studies from Harvard and the Journal of Positive Psychology, from the University of Minnesota, the University of British Columbia, so many more. Like, honestly, so many more that I found that all support every single thing that I am telling you. When we are talking about involving our kids in household tasks, it's absolutely crucial that you understand that the benefits go beyond them just helping with chores and you not having so much on your plate, which there's greatness and validity to that, but it truly is going to contribute to their overall development, and it's going to prepare them for that success, that dream, and that vision that you have for them. I promise you, this is going to be worth your time, worth your energy. Sit on this, think on it, journal on it, pray on it. Let's move forward on this together. I'm looking forward to meeting you back here really soon for the part 2 and part 3 of the Get Your Kids to Help series right here on the Systemize Your Life podcast.
Before we wrap up today's episode, I want to extend a sincere invitation to you, an incredible wife, mom, and woman who has serious dreams of making change, to really take what you learned today and implement even just a small part of it in your life. When you make changes, it inspires everyone around you. If today's episode resonated with you, I'm certain it will resonate with others too. So head over to iTunes, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. Your review will help more women discover our podcast and join our supportive community. But your impact doesn't stop there. You hold the power to motivate and equip the women closest to you in your life with a simple, "Hey girl, let's do this together." Text this episode to your best friend or maybe even your mama. Whoever it is in your life that's knee-deep in the same kind of chaos you're in, they need to know about this system too. And if you're feeling fancy, you can even take a screenshot of this episode, tag me, and post it to your stories. Because together, we can create a trail of wisdom for all the incredible women around us, reshaping how we not only care for ourselves, but each other. I can't wait to connect with you on Instagram until we meet back here again real soon for the next episode on the Systemize Your Life podcast.